Be in prayer for a young person going through two surgeries recently. I think Daniel Ricker had that, and just for his recovery and for him to be doing well. God bless him. About 45 years ago, Pastors James Kennedy and Archie Parrish came up with a question that was to help people know the destination of their soul. And it was a very good question, and I think it's something to let impact our hearts so we know what the future holds for us. The question was this: if you were to die sometime this week, are you certain that you would go to heaven? Okay, that's a very heart-jarring and mind-jarring question. If you were to die this week, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? When Regina and I were in our younger days and somewhat newlyweds, I suggested spontaneously that we head to New Jersey and hit the shores, and find a motel out there and all that. So off we go, no reservation, not really knowing what town we would be in or what hotel we would be in. So after 8 hours of driving and getting a little fatigued after that, an additional 2 hours driving around a town or two on the New Jersey shore trying to find a hotel, no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. Finally stopped in a place that was somewhere below the grade of Motel 3 there, and toughed it out for a week, and we were thankful to get home. But the small result of not knowing where you're going, made it tough, both the journey and the arrival, certainly. But to know where you're going in life and to know where your destination is at the end of life, God says you can know that. Okay, that's part of His plan for us. And He wants to direct us to the point where we are certain about that as a gift from Him. About 70% of the people, by the way, who were asked that question, if you were to die this week, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? They gave answers that were not positive. Okay, they were confused about that, especially those who were 40 and above who had reached somewhat of the halfway point in their life. And their responses to that question were as follows. One response: yes, I do think I'm going to heaven. I'm not perfect, but I try to do good things, and I think I'm a good person, so good people go to heaven, so yes, I guess I would go to heaven. Second response: I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't think anybody can know that. And so I leave it to God at that point, somewhat of a more humble response. Third response: if I do enough good things, I will go to heaven. If my good works outweigh my bad works. In fact, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias preach the other day, and he said that he met a guy from Iraq, a dear guy, but he was a Muslim fella, wasn't quite sure about the future of his own soul. And so Ravi Zacharias said, well, how do you know what's going to happen to you after you die? He said, oh, I don't know. That's totally up to, that's totally up to God. He said, but I do try to do more good works than bad. In fact, when I go to the mosque, I walk and I actually count the number of steps it takes me to get to the mosque. 1, 2, 3, 950. So I count that as 950 points, on the positive side of things. And you say, wow, do you have to live that way? And in all those answers, there's no good news to those answers. I know in my own life, if you were to ask that question to me in my younger days, I would say, I don't think I'm going to heaven. If I get enough of my relatives to pray for me after I'm dead, then maybe I can get away from whatever punishment I certainly deserve and be at peace with God. Well, there was no good news in that for my soul. And those answers really are totally unacceptable to a holy God who has sent His Son, Jesus, to die for helpless, hellbound sinners, which we are without Christ. We're heading in the wrong direction unless we meet Christ on the way of the end of our sure lifetime. That will definitely happen. Now, the good news from the Bible is God wants us to be sure about heaven. Be sure about our destination. That certainty is a birthright of the Christian, based on the character of God and based on what Christ has done for us at the cross. He says, you know, I'm going to do this work of salvation for you and rise from the dead so that where he is, we could be also. That was a promise he gave. So the good news is God wants you to know that you could be with him now and forever. And that's a gift from him. I love when the Bible says, I'm convinced neither death nor life, angels or demons, past or present. And if you look at that passage, Paul mentions 15 things that are pretty significantly intense that can make us feel that we are, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I feel like, you know, God is total confusion in my life. I don't know him very well. The Bible says, well, you can know the love of Christ. And that love of Christ is stronger than all these things that his word mentions. And I love the phrase, I am convinced. Okay, it's intensity. The Message Bible puts it this way, I'm absolutely convinced. King James Bible puts it this way, I am persuaded. And Amplified Bible puts it this way, I am persuaded beyond doubt. In other words, it's not just something I make up in my head, but I really base it on what God has said to me in his word and through his son, Jesus. Okay, he's a trustworthy Savior. And the Message Bible goes further to say, boy, who would tangle with the promises of God at that point? You know, I cannot debate God. I want to surrender to him and yield my soul to him. So Jesus says, the strength is his. He says, nobody will take you out of his hand. If you put your soul in the hand of Christ, nobody will take you out of his hand. And nobody will take you out of the Father's hand. The Father is stronger than everybody. And Jesus promises, he says, boy, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. So where I am, you could be also. And so God wants you to be sure through Christ alone that you'll be in heaven. You know, you hear that question, yeah, my life is going to end some week, some day. And I want to know, I'm going to be with God as a gift from him. That makes life between now and then with some direction, with some joy, and with some perseverance behind the thing. Else we're going to be floundering all over the place. This simple teaching in some Bible teachers call it the perseverance of God. God hangs in there with us. The preservation of his people. God, you know, gets us back in the race, as it were. And then the persevering grace. And you might ask yourself, what are some of the symptoms that you might not know or might not believe that you could be sure you're going to heaven? What are some of the things that are going to trip you up in your thinking and perhaps in your emotions? Oh, here's some that are common to everybody. Number one, lack of peace in your soul. Just kind of anxious about the future. One person described it as, well, waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, between God and I, we'll have to walk on eggshells with him. And it's just not well with my soul. Okay, God recognizes that. He wants to come in and fill that vacuum with his reassuring presence and love. Second symptom, you become very defensive and self-justifying. I don't know, in your conversations with other people or in your own head or before God, you have a tendency to be defensive. You want to speak up for yourself a lot because you're thinking, well, I don't know if Christ will speak up for me, so I'm going to speak up for myself and defend myself. That's a sign of being uncertain about the future. So if you have that characteristic, look to Christ. Another symptom, a general feeling of agnosticism. That means I do not know. And I don't know if anybody can know. That's very popular as a way of looking at life. It's been so since the mid-1800s. You know, and there's a attempt to be a sneaky person before God when you say, I don't know. I don't know. Because as long as I don't know, you see, I don't have to make any commitments to Christ about heaven, hell, or anything else that's really important to my soul. Because, hey, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I'm committed to not knowing. I'm not ready to take that big step of simply turning to Christ. God invites you to do that. Another result of agnosticism is skepticism, saying, how can anybody know anything? Which leads to cynicism, which is very catchy. Are you a cynical person? You know, you see something, you say, yeah, sure. You know, just kind of a doubt everything about life. Is that the way you think life was meant to be lived? Just kind of, you know, smile or frown at everything and become like Pontius Pilate and say, hey, what is truth? You know, forget that. For my own soul and for everybody else, what is truth? Hey, Jesus would break through all that very real confusion and fog. Another symptom of not knowing you're going to heaven is you become very, very focused and perhaps obsessed. This is a religious result about sin. And we know there's serious disorders people have, and we are all this way to a certain extent, but we become obsessively compulsed about what sin is. Everywhere I look, I see sin. You know, I sniff it out. And like my brain becomes a picture of the evening news. Okay, it's just one bad thing after another. And I could tell you all about it. Extra, extra. Hear all about it when I open my mouth. You don't want to live that way. Okay, that's a sign of not seeing Christ, who is everywhere, and all you see is the dirt. Get your nose out of the dirt so you can see Christ. And then when you see the dirt, you'll actually walk more toward Him instead of saying, life stinks. You know, that can't be your final commentary on the gift that God gave you. Another sign of not going to heaven, it would be ambivalence toward Jesus, just in your own soul, and you'd be honest before God with this one. It's just at the level of energy and enthusiasm, Jesus is about fourth or fifth in your life. Okay, it's some of the things He created you're thankful about. Got that 67 Mustang, you know, and you got the Steelers season coming up. You got we're going to Pizza Hut afterwards, or whatever just kind of gets your attention. You got these human relationships that I can't, you know, live without. God says, are you ambivalent to me that I come in third or fourth place, creator of you and everything, you know, good? We can turn to Christ and be cured of that. And then perfectionism. Perfectionism is a sign of not being sure about your relationship with God. It's kind of a interesting one. Perfectionism says, I have to do everything perfect for it to be used by God. God only uses perfect things and perfect people. You see, that's why I got this straight tie on this morning. Okay. Hey, at that point, we're living only in the first two chapters of the Bible. You know, we're walking around pretending that the fall didn't happen. At least it's not going to happen in my view of the world. That's totally delusional. Okay, God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. In fact, He did that through the whole Bible. And so you'll want to say, boy, I need Christ, and there's only one kind of people who go to heaven, and that's imperfect people. And people who need the forgiveness of Christ. So I turn to Him. And so to know those symptoms and to say, Lord, how are you going to make me sure that you'd give me the gift of heaven? Well, certainly would focus on His Son. There's two big reasons why you might not be sure of it. Number one is that you simply never have received Christ. You said, no, I've never turned to Him. I could do the church thing, and you know, even do some of the Bible thing. But Jesus Himself, haven't made that big step and big decision. Or you maybe don't know God's Word, and so we're fearful of that. Interesting, Jonathan Edwards, a real strong preacher of previous years, said that healthy Christians will occasionally wonder, am I going to heaven? And they'll kind of check on that salvation. Am I really a Christian? You know, I don't want to just take Christ lightly. Edward said a healthy Christian will do that. He also said a hypocrite would presume to be saved. Sure, I'm saved. What did you think about me? You know, a hypocrite is more likely to do that where a careful person who really values their relationship with God would say, I want to be sure it's right between the Lord and I. And the gift of heaven and the gift of God not turning away from you, having a sense of certainty, I think is real hard to believe, because most of the important relationships in our life are fairly temporary. When you look in terms of longevity, okay, sad part about humanity, fairly temporary. A father and mother can't forsake you. Okay, it's very painful when they do, but the Bible deals with that. God says, I understand that. I could be more reliable than your closest family members. Sadly, we can lose friends or loved ones through death or other problems. Friends move around like a revolving door. One of the reasons when I heard from the Bible that you could know about heaven, I was in shock. Then I was very glad. I think I shared before, by the time I was 12 growing up, we moved to like 5 different locations in my family life. So I'm thinking, oh, this is life over here. No, no, no. And then this. And then these friends. No, no, no. And then you keep on going. And you wonder, well, I guess life is just, you know, we're just passing through as fast as possible with as few commitments as we can handle. Jesus said, wait a minute. I'm here for keeps. I'm here to stay. And our response is, wow, can I actually be in this world? God says, yes. Yes, it can. I'll be with you always. A.B. Simpson, founder of the Alliance, he honored God's faithfulness in a book called Fourfold Gospel. His last chapter was called Kept. Kept. Okay, think of what you kept that was precious to you. You know what's on God's list? You. Kept. That's what he values. The Bible says you're kept by Jesus Christ. Heaven's for keeps. Christ is for keeps. Glad about that. Simpson said, God will keep you in perfect peace. So he gets your mind on him, and you have a sense of assurance from the Lord himself. Simpson went on to say, you're kept from the evil one. Yeah, there's real evil out there. We should be realistic. Very, very bad evil. From the human heart, from the demonic and all that. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Wow. So you and I can face any evil and have God's help. Yes, that's true. And then Simpson went on to say, kept by the power of God. I like that one. Kept by the power of God. So it's not my own strength. It's God's strength. And if some terrible thing happened and all 7 billion people on the earth should turn against God and attack you personally in some manner, that would be a paranoid dream. But if all that happened and all the demons in hell came against you and the devil himself, you know what the Bible says? You would be victorious because of Christ. That's a Bible fact. That's a Bible fact. That the little Christian with the King of Kings has victory. And then Simpson said, he will keep you from falling. You know, God says, I'll uphold you with my great right hand. I mean, that's a promise from the Old Testament and New Testament. And when God says, you know, not only I'll keep you, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's a great promise from Hebrews 13:5. I know one of our board members mentioned that was one of his favorite verses. There wasn't enough ink in the writer's pen to write what that meant. This is really, in the Greek, it's like a five-fold reassurance. God says this. He says, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, nor fail you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Now, what other being can make that promise and bring it through? Only God can do that. And He is, and He wants to, and He does it. And somebody said, when God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means You know, God says, these folks, I'm going to make sure they get to heaven. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He doesn't have a big eraser in the other hand. You know, saying, let me subtract a few over here. The Lord will keep you. And for me personally, just a testimony, without Christ as a person, I'm not a very confident person. In fact, I'm probably, when it comes to fight or flight, I am flight in every case without the Lord. But with Christ, He can give strength and confidence and courage that I simply don't have. And He's a good provider. And you, if you trust Christ, you will feel very safe and very strong from Him. And you won't be able to take any credit for it. That's good. So how about you? If you come to the point in your life, if it ended this week, you would be certain you would go to heaven. Jesus says you could be certain based on His promise. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And He wants you to receive Him. He's not going to keep you if you don't want Him in your life. You see, Jesus said, whoever comes to Me, I will not turn away. And would you pray to receive Christ so you could say, I thought about the future, but it was just a fog. But I want to be with God now and forever. And Jesus will do that for me. And I'm in shock, but I'm very glad. And I trust Him enough to receive Him. Could you do that? I'm going to pray a simple prayer that's actually a part of a song. Pray that in your soul. If you say, yeah, I want to follow Christ. And I belong to Him. And so whom shall I fear? And I'm certain, based on Christ, that I will be in heaven forever. What a happy bunch we will be based on the promise of God. Let's pray together. Father, pray for each one here today, and just if anybody here just wants to say, "Boy, I want to be with Christ now and in heaven forever." We think of the alternative, Lord, life without You. That's a total mess, and a future without You. That's a devastating hell. So, Lord, I ask that folks here who never received Christ would say and mean it between You and them, Your Holy Spirit, give them a new life. They just pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And there would be rejoicing between You and them and the angels in heaven. And they'd start to follow You. And we all know, Lord, from experience, they're going to be the most excited ones about You of the whole group of people here today. So we're happy for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.